This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Hey, it's Jim Costa with Cash the Ticket. Mike Valeni and I are all over the tournament again this March. Breakdowns of every region and every game, who are the Cinderellas, and which team's cutting down the nets. Subscribe and listen to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app, wherever you get your podcasts.
Watch us. Love us. Just follow WEEI on Twitch. Jones and Keefe.
On WEEI.
That is crushed high and deep into center field, way back at the track, at the wall, goodbye, Christian Campbell goes deep to straightaway center field. The Red Sox are teeing off in Monterey, and it is 5-0 Red Sox. Wow.
Wow, indeed, Christian Campbell.
Woo!
And the Red Sox kids continue to just rake.
Pretty amazing.
In Mexico. They have not announced their roster yet. They're going to do it tomorrow around noon.
I think the deadline is high noon, so they can really announce it any time, but they have to be official by noon tomorrow.
So we know Christian Campbell made the opening day roster. We think he's the second baseman. Are they still thinking about jamming Marcelo Meyer onto the team?
I don't think so.
I don't think so either.
I don't think to start the year, just because, well, we got to double check, but is Story healthy? If Trevor Story's playing... And Bregman's playing. I think you want him to play every day. So I think he at least starts with the Woo Sox, which was what we need, because on Friday we're going to be at Polar Park.
Uh-huh.
So as much as I want Meyer to be playing mostly at the big league level, he's got to at least start at the Woo Sox. So we can take in the game.
Tristan Casas might complicate the whole thing with his injury, which we can get to coming up at 617-779-7937. We'll mix in some Red Sox thoughts with the season opener tomorrow here on WEEI.
Oh, yeah, where's the time go?
Flying. Flying is where it's gone. We'll get to some Would You Rathers. Would You Rather Wednesday at 11:30. Pure Hoops with Terp at high noon. We also have both Elite Eight matchups at Jones and Keefe. Final Four starts tomorrow. You can vote at Jones and Keefe. See the full bracket on Instagram and Twitter at Jones and Keefe. It's our March Madness uniform bracket. Meantime, let's knock out some more of these Steph Diggs phone calls,
yes,
and then we'll get to the Sox. John, Rhode Island, waiting patiently. Go ahead, John.
Hey, guys, love the show. I think that the Giants had originally thought that Shedeur Sanders was going to be there at 3 when they signed Jameis Winston. The signing of Russell Wilson makes me think that the Giants think that Cleveland's going to take Shedeur Sanders. So if I am the Patriots, I would think that Abdul Carter is going to be there at 4 because I think the Giants want Travis Hunter to pair up with Malik Nabers. Also, it gives us the signing with Diggs also gives the Patriots a little bit of flexibility to maybe take a shot at one of those receivers in like the third or fourth, like Jaden Higgins or Jalen Noel.
Sure. So they could get the Iowa State receivers you just listed. We like Trey Harris. No, that's a good take by John. I didn't know where he was going at first.
No, I like it. Could go QB 1-2.
The Giants aren't out on Shedeur Sanders because they brought in Russell Wilson and Jameis Winston. They
just
know they're
be there.
They know they're out on Shedeur Sanders because the Browns could take him at 2. I saw this the other night on NBC Sports Boston that Deion Sanders, there's some guy the Browns hired with a connection to Deion. So, like, the thought process goes, oh, okay, maybe they are more connected to Shedeur. I didn't really think much of it at the time, but that's a good point by John Rhode Island.
I mean, you know who Cleveland's starting quarterback is right now?
Right now, it's Kenny Pickett.
Kenny Pickett. So, maybe there should be a little bit more stock into them, like, desperately needing to take a quarterback there,
okay,
too.
So, Cam Ward 1, Shedeur Sanders 2.
And then you kind of wait and see what the Giants do.
Who knows about Jackson Dart at 3? You said it,
this
Keith.
Is my thought. Keith, this is my hot take from weeks ago.
You said it all
ago.
Along. It was, quarterbacks are more likely to go in the top 3.
Three in the top three than only one in the top
correct.
Three. Yeah.
And so,
I stand by it.
All right, but even if the Giants didn't take Jackson Dart,
you get one or the other, and this all goes back to something we've been saying all along since the draft order became official. If they pass up on Carter or Hunter to take Will Campbell or whoever they think is the left tackle, that hurts. Like, it fills out your roster, I guess, a little bit better, but it feels like a talent like Abdul Carter or Travis Hunter you should take, and then whether it's your next pick or you trade up in the first round or whatever, then that's where you get your left tackle, but you can't pass on Carter or Hunter.
Let me ask you this.
All right.
Because I agree with that. But let's say it does go the way John of Rhode Island laid it out. It goes Cam Ward, 1.
QB.
Shedeur Sanders, 2. Travis Hunter, 3. Abdul Carter's there at 4. We thought he could be the number one pick in the draft.
Yeah.
He is hurt.
He's coming back from an injury. He tweeted out that photo of him in the back of tank.
So maybe you already answered this, but there's no concern on your level that like the guy might be sliding and have injury red flags.
No, there is a little. I think there has to be a little concern. Like anytime you're leading up to the draft, you're like no, don't worry about it. Like I'm gonna be a little worried about
it. Rosenhaus came out and was like, he's fine.
So Rosenhaus, remember when Willis McGahee? This is going back a few years. When Willis McGahee in the national championship game got like his knee blown to smithereens,
yes.
Like. Disgusting.
It was gross.
It was like helmet on knee. You saw it like snap in three spots. And I remember Drew Rosenhaus, Wise, like the best agent. He was with McGahee and he was swearing up and down that he'd be a first round pick, swearing up and down that he was going to be a great player, swearing up and down that he was going to return. And all those things happened.
He was
a first round pick. He ended up being pretty good.
I was going to say, was he good like right away though?
That I don't know.
Yeah,
but
I don't
like
know
he had a career.
Oh, for
you know,
sure.
It wasn't like, oh, he was smoked. And this was also 20 years ago when we're talking about ACL injuries.
Correct.
And that's not even what we're talking about with Abdul Carter. I'm just saying like injuries and agents talking.
McGahee right away. 1,100 yards, 13 touchdowns as a rookie. So good call.
And I remember being shocked that he even went in the first round. But anyway, so maybe the agent, obviously he's going to be hyping up his guy, but there's also examples of where maybe they're right. No, I would still take him. I would look at it as he could still be the best player in the draft. The only players that got drafted ahead of him are QBs by teams without QBs. And then Travis Hunter, who we love. So if you're sitting there at 4 and you get Abdul Carter, he is at worst the second best player in the draft. If you're not doing positions, right, like a QB needs.
And you prefer Hunter to Carter.
I would rather have Travis Hunter, but I would take Carter.
It would make sense based on that. Two teams took a quarterback, and then the third team took what you consider the best player in the draft.
You got the fourth pick. That's not bad.
Ryan's in Manchester. Hello, Ryan.
So there's no way they're taking Abdul Carter because it would be malpractice on roster building. You can't sink that much money into a defensive line after you're paying Barmore and Milton. So it is kind of like you're not drafting for need, but you need offense, and Abdul Carter can help you up.
Hang on. Barmore and Milton Stilt don't play the same position as Abdul Carter.
Yeah, Carter's going to sack the quarterback.
It's D-line, and they've already invested how much money in the defense this year. Stephon Diggs is great, but they need to invest in – yeah, well, this is what I'm asking you. Steph Diggs is top 2 in contested catch rate the last 3 years. I have another point after this. You want to guess who number 1 was?
Oh, wait. Number 1 in contested catch rate.
Keenan Allen.
Yep.
Wow, great guess.
Oh!
So those AJ Brown.
Oh. I was like, Keenan nailed it.
My point is – Vrabel is building what he built in Tennessee is why they're taking Aston Jeanty. They're not taking Abdul Carter. It's either going to be Hunter as a wide receiver. It's Aston Jeanty as a running back. Now, think about that lineup, boys. I'm kind of excited about it. You line up Steph Diggs on the outside. You got Aston Jeanty in the backfield. Maybe we're cooking a little bit here.
Ryan,
excited for the year.
Ryan, can I ask you, are you the guy who's tweeting at me a bunch about this is how Vrabel built it in Tennessee? Is that you on Twitter?
I don't do Twitter. I'm the guy that compared Wick Rospeck to Billy Madison.
Beautiful. Well, that's good. So, what a ride that was.
The take you might know me from the Billy Madison.
I'm most identifiable from Wick and Billy Madison. Got it.
People remember me from my Wick Rosebeck.
No, so there's a guy who tweets me a very similar thing over and over again. He did it a bunch yesterday.
Well, it's funny. He kind of swerved me a little bit because I thought he was you can't draft Carter because you have to draft a lineman.
He definitely swerved
us. He swerved me there. So then he ends up landing on Aston Jeanty, which, okay. I think I would still take Campbell over Jeanty. I love Jeanty, the prospect, and I would be excited about that. But the
idea that Vrabel's going to build it like he built Tennessee. And again, Vrabel
inherited Henry
in his third year and didn't know what he had in Henry until like December of his first year with him. But
he started Deion Lewis.
Ultimately, he figured out the value of Derrick Henry. And if he's going to try to build it the way he built it in Tennessee, maybe. That's not a bad theory.
You know who led the league in contested catch rate?
Keenan Allen.
Yeah. No. Yeah, it was. It was A.J. Brown.
I was going for the correct ding.
I thought his whole point was...
I was so confused.
His whole point was that Diggs doesn't get separation anymore because he was making contested catches. Like, I don't view contested catch...
You don't love that stat.
Well, yeah, it doesn't paint a full picture. Like,
I'm also surprised by that. I feel like when you just think of Steph Diggs, it's like he's shifty, he gets open.
I'm very surprised at that.
Like, he's like Randy Moss and people?
Right.
I guess. He's got great hands, but I don't really consider him that kind of... player, but
me neither.
Yeah, that call took several turns. He's not even the guy on Twitter that's hassling you. So
it's like the Severance finale.
I
really need to re-listen to that call. Maybe we'll
do that clip du jour,
before
perhaps.
The show's over. 617-779-7937. So have I missed any updates on Tristan Cassis? I saw this yesterday, and I'm wondering if part of the reason they're waiting on their roster is based to Cassis. Ian Brown yesterday said it's noteworthy Cassis is out of the lineup today. Which was yesterday. He tried to barehand a bad hop grounder last night. Couldn't tell how much of his hand it got, but the ball went into right field. Brown then said, I'm told x-rays were negative, but he was going to follow up, and then I never saw a follow-up. And I was checking from the beat writers today, or this morning, rather. I don't think I've missed anything on that, but maybe there's a positive update.
Well, yeah.
Is part of the way Marcelo Meyer could stick around, and part of the reason they haven't announced their roster yet... Because they don't know if Casas is healthy.
Well, it's funny. Yesterday we were doing over-unders for player props on the Red Sox, or 2 days ago, and the only guy we seemed to take the under on was Casas, wasn't it?
Yeah.
We were like, we can't go over on everybody. Right. We're going to win 100 games. So like we're excited about the season, but just kind of an unknown, and you just wonder if he's going to be a guy that has different injuries here and there kind of pop up.
Okay, Nick, say what you just told me in my ear on the air.
Apparently, Alex Speer said that Casas, Willy Abreu, and Roby Gonzalez all expected to be good to go for opening day.
Okay, good.
Oh.
So.
And that's apparently per Cora.
Okay.
Oh, perfect.
Okay, so that's from Cora. Okay,
all right, so there you go.
That makes me feel a lot better. Okay. So, good. Those guys should be good to go. But already, it's like the guy didn't get out of spring, and he's dinged up and missing games and getting x-rays.
I mean, this goes back to... Will Fleming on with Hart and Fitzy and Johnson a couple weeks ago when they were just asking him about the roster and everything else. And he said Casas and Yoshida will be on the team this year, but not next year. Now, I still wonder how long Yoshida will be on the team this year. But the bigger statement was Tristan Casas won't be on the team next year. He's under team control for a while. I know they've tried getting him a contract extension. That didn't really work out. But as far as like arbitration and stuff, like they have him under team control for a long time. And yet they might just be like, we're moving on. And that's why everyone's sort of looking at Vlad Guerrero Jr. as next year's starting first baseman.
So you're right. When I was talking about Meyer before, the more logical guy, I already forgot Yoshida's even here.
Yeah. Because
he's starting on the IL and going to AAA with his fake injury because they don't want him on the roster. But that's how they would piece it together.
Although I don't know where you put him, though. Like, if he can't play the field yet, Devers can't play the field either.
Maybe the Devers at first base people get their wish.
No, I don't think that's as easy a transition as people think.
Well,
Casas isn't that great at first base.
Kyle Schwarber proved that. That's
right.
True. Yeah.
Kyle Schwarber standing ovation. Yeah, I mean, routine play.
Honestly, I did love that. I know everybody loved that, but that's one of those things you would think I would hate on, but I love that.
No, it's good stuff. But then it's also like, yeah, you can't just be like, yeah, you can play first base. It's like, they can't all just pick up first base.
No, you're right. Devers is a DH. We also got an update from Cora about the closer. He said, while Chapman is the closer heading into the season, Cora's leaving wiggle room for leverage.
Mm.
Ian Brown then wrote, for example, if Corey Seager leads off the eighth inning on Thursday, don't be surprised if Chapman takes the ball in the eighth and someone else gets the ninth. So it's like, he's not the closer.
They don't
have a closer. It's closer by committee.
So
no one wants to call it that,
no.
But that is a closer by committee approach.
I don't like this. Who's the one that came up with the thing before, too? They're like, well, sometimes the most important outs aren't in the ninth or whatever.
Oh, probably Bill James. I don't know.
Was it Bill James?
Yeah,
probably. So, like, the stats have really gone into how some teams view, like, the closer and everything else. Not everybody. But I don't like that. I don't. You know, I feel like sometimes there's also a difference. Hey, maybe this is a day where it's going to be a six-out save or a four-out save or a five-out save. That I can understand.
I'm way more okay with that than, come in the eighth, get your three outs, and we'll figure out the ninth. I'm way more okay with you're going to get four or five outs today.
Yeah, and then, like, here comes Brennan Bernardino to get the final three outs, and then you lose the game, and you're like, what happened? And you're like, we got the eighth. We got through the eighth. I like the closer, and maybe this is me being a bit old school, but, you know, Keith Foulke would pitch – the ninth. Or, I mean, in the World Series, it felt like he pitched the eighth and the ninth. But you know what I'm saying? Like, yeah. He closed it. It wasn't like, who's up? Should I warm up now in the seventh based on where the lineup is? Or do I just get the final three outs? That, I think, is the – there's less kind of headaches. Look, when it comes to that.
It's just – it's proof they don't have a closer, which we already kind of felt. But I think that's Cora's way of letting you know. Like, guys, I said Chapman's going to be the guy.
Yeah.
But we don't really have a guy. So if it's Seager for a big out in the eighth inning – and like you said, if it's bases loaded, two outs in the eighth inning, and Seager's stepping up, well, then just, sure, bring in Chapman. I'm fine with that. Get a four-out save. But if it's like Seager's leading off the eighth and the bases are empty, save him for the ninth.
Yeah.
So you can jump in on this, 617-779-7937. One other thing that caught my eye on the Red Sox today. ESPN, they have apparently 28 MLB writers.
It's too much. So it's like, we don't have one for every team, but close. It's like, either go all in and have one for every team or don't.
They polled their 28 writers, analysts, and editors. I'm sorry, they're not all writers.
Oh, gotcha.
To predict what will happen in baseball this year. I think the Jones and Keefe program are going to do something very similar tomorrow on opening day.
Opening day?
ESPN jumped us by a day.
Should we get some Cracker Jacks or something in here? Hot dogs?
Peanuts.
Yeah.
Cracker Jacks.
Yeah.
Popcorn.
Lobster bisque and a bread bowl, which they're going to have at Fenway next week.
The Cowboy Up burger.
Yeah.
Oh, hey, all that good stuff. Yeah. So out of the 28 votes, how many do you think pick the Red Sox to win the AL East?
Out of 28, I think it should be like 15.
Okay. So you're actually higher than that. 13, which I thought was a healthy number. That is the most in the division. The Orioles got 10. The Yankees only got 3.
People are down on the Yankees, which they should be. Vegas isn't, though. Vegas still has them as the favorite, but everybody else that's looking at it is like, why would it be them?
Toronto and Tampa each got a vote. Okay, the AL champion, Keith. Again, 28 voters. How many picked the Red Sox to win the American League pennant?
10.
10 is exactly right.
Oh!
That's the most in the American League.
That's pretty amazing.
More than the Orioles at 7, the Rangers at 7. The Mariners got 2, the Tigers and Yankees each got 1. Buster only wrote,
Boston, Duck boats.
Boston, thank you, had 3 major needs going into last offseason. A couple of frontline pitchers.
Got it.
An established right-handed hitter.
Got it.
The Red Sox went on to land Crochet and Buehler and Alex Bregman. Their rotation is better. Their defense is better. Their lineup should be more balanced. He says at the same time, they're also graduating 3 high-end prospects to the big leagues in Christian Campbell, Marcelo Meyer, and Roman Anthony. This could be a dynamic team against a mediocre AL landscape, making the Red Sox stand out. Again, that's Buster Olney, ESPN.
So I think a lot of it does have to do with just the competition around them. Like we did our tiers yesterday, and you're looking at the American League, and there are certain teams that you're like, yeah, that team's probably good, like the Royals and the Astros and the Orioles and maybe the Yankees, but are you really going to put them definitely above the Red Sox? Like when you break it down that way, you're like, man, these other teams that were good kind of had some major losses, and then the Red Sox did improve in all these different areas. They should be better, at least on paper, in every aspect, and maybe relief pitching, because you know, might be a wash or slight advantage to last year. We'll at least see how it goes. But you remember, Jansen had his ups and downs. Martin was kind of in and out of the lineup there, or in and out of the bullpen. So this has a chance to be at least as good. The starters are definitely projected to be better. The defense is better. The lineup top to bottom is better. So, yeah, why not? Why can't they win the American League?
So 13 out of why not us?
Why not us?
13 out of 28, almost half, picked the Red Sox to win the division. 10 out of 28 picked them to win the pennant. How many picked them to win the World Series, Keith?
That'd be 0.
1.
Oh,
you
who's
got,
that?
Good question. I don't know. You got 20 of the voters for the Dodgers, 3 for the Phillies, 2 for the Braves, 1 each for the Red Sox, Rangers, and Mariners.
Rangers and Mariners got a World Series win on there? Now, I like going non-chalk, but at the same time, how do you not pick the Dodgers? As of right now, the Dodgers aren't going to win.
I don't want to spoil anything for tomorrow, but I will not be picking the Dodgers.
Yeah, I know.
How about some awards? Red Sox got no votes for AL MVP. I don't know if that surprises you, but they got none for AL MVP.
How many deep did they go? Just because last year, Jaren Duran did get MVP votes.
7 or 8. Yeah, okay. So Duran is who I was looking for. Hang on, I can get you that
that's fine.
Number.
I don't think they have anybody that would jump out to you for MVP.
AL MVP. Witt got 14 votes. Judge, 3. Henderson, 3. Vladdy, 3. I'm sorry, I misread this. Bregman got 2.
2 MVP votes for Alex Bregman.
Good job getting me to double-check that,
yeah,
Keith.
Good.
Bregman got 2. Alvarez 1. Rooker 1. Julio Rodriguez 1.
It makes sense. If that many people are having them win the division and winning the American League, you'd think somebody would maybe factor into the MVP.
My mistake.
Okay.
Two for Alex Bregman.
That'd be something.
For the Cy Young, how many votes do you think Crochet got out of 28?
Out of 28, I would say...
7!
I'd say 14.
Nick wins this one. Castig wins this one. 9 was the number. Skubal got 12. Crochet was second, though.
Yeah.
Ahead of Cole Reagans, Logan Gilbert, and Max Fried.
All right.
AL Rookie of the Year, you also got votes for Christian Campbell, 5 out of the 28, not the favorite, and Roman Anthony, 2.
Who is the favorite?
Out of the 28.
In the American League.
Notice how I avoided that because I don't know how to say it. Jackson Job?
Tigers? Yeah. Or was he with?
How do you say his name?
Oh, I don't know. I think it's Job.
Job
Tigers?
Yeah, okay. So he got the most votes in the American League. So there you go.
Congratulations.
ESPN and their bloggers.
Whole squad.
All their writers and editors and everybody else, very high on the Red Sox.
I think they kind of should be. Right? Because look at
so he led the Dodgers to World Series.
No. We're just talking about the American League right now. If you look at the American League, I have a hard time giving like a full effort that Seattle's going to win it. Like, if that's your take, great. But it's just that every team has plenty of issues. There's no Dodgers in or even Phillies in the American League.
No, for sure not. So how are you feeling about the Red Sox? We'll mix that in with all your Stephon Diggs thoughts. 617-779-7937. At 11:45, we'll update the Jones and Keefe bracket. Final four starts tomorrow.
Wow.
Still have Elite Eight matchups up at Jones and Keefe. Vote on Twitter. You can see the full bracket on Instagram and Twitter at Jones and Keefe. And right after trending with Billy Lanny, it's a Would You Rather Wednesday.